This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. Once again, my name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We've been spending 8:30 of a morning and 5 o'clock of an evening with you here on WMIE for about 12 and a half years now. And we want to thank you for listening and making us part of your day and your spiritual journey. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 5 today and Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to be in the end of chapter 5 and the beginning of chapter 6. But I'd like to invite you out to our Wednesday night meetings. We have a class for kids, a class for young adults, and then we have a class or a Bible study for adults as well, and that meets in the sanctuary. And we would love to have you come and be a part of that. And, you know, it's a great time of year to focus on growth. That's really what we're going to be talking about today on the program, is not getting stuck in our spiritual growth journey, but progressing. And it's not just progressing, but we want to make sure that we do not regress. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. So if you're new to the area, we would be honored if you would choose to visit with us and worship with us. Our mission at Merritt Assembly of God is to be a blessing to God, to be a blessing to our family, to be a blessing to the church and to the community, and to be a blessing spiritually, relationally, financially, however we can be a blessing. That's what we believe God has called us to do. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 12, and I'm going to read down through chapter 6, verse number 3. One of the things that many people don't realize is that the chapter and verse designations were things that were added later. These were written as, you know, pretty much continuous letters that, you know, we call books. So a lot of times if you're on a reading plan, you read a certain number of chapters per day or whatever, verses per day. And so in this particular instance, if you end at chapter 5 and then you pick up in chapter 6, you're not going to realize that those two passages are a continuation of thought. So let me read verses, Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 12, all the way down through chapter 6, verse number 3. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. So the writer of Hebrews here begins these few verses. It's, you know, kind of towards the latter part of the first half of the book of Hebrews. And he makes a statement to his readers, and he says, by this time in your spiritual journey, you ought to be teachers. And that's what we are studying as we go through the Word of God here. We're looking at the things that God wants to instruct us about. And he says, by this time in your spiritual journey, you ought to be teachers. One of the things I tell our church, and we've got some wonderful, wonderful people at church, great Christians, and, you know, I believe that Merit Assembly of God is one of the best kept secrets in Brevard County, not because of me, but because of the people. I just believe there are phenomenal Christians there, and they love God, they love people, and they serve hard, they pray hard. It's just a privilege to pastor the church. Not a big church, but you know, Goliath was big, but he wasn't godly, and you know, we want to increase in number. We don't want to decrease, but, you know, our primary goal is to please God in all that we do. And one of the things that I say to them is, how many of you have heard, you know, 50 sermons? How many of you have heard 100 sermons? How many of you, you know, there are some that have heard thousands and thousands of sermons through their lifetime. And I said, in many parts of the world, with that sort of spiritual legacy, you would be the pastor of churches. Because as the gospel expands into a region, if there's a missionary or if there's an evangelist that comes in and people get saved, then they move on to the next field that they are going to reach with the gospel, and they will install a pastor in that area, and his qualification may be that he has been a Christian longer than other people have been a Christian and may not have a great awareness of, you know, all of the Word of God, but he's the most advanced in that community. And so he's just a few steps further along in his spiritual journey than other people. Now the dangerous side about that is if you're just a few steps ahead and you've never been, you know, taught the Word of God extensively, you can make some serious misinterpretations of the Word of God. So meeting I was in one time, they were talking about how the pastor in this one remote region was so concerned about his congregants, you know, being able to buy and sell food, that when he read the book of Revelation and it said that they would not be able to buy, sell, and eat without taking the mark of the beast, he said, well, if that happens, we got to take the mark of the beast so you can. And they said, no, that's not what that passage means. And so that's one of the reasons that we have the Fire Bible. The Fire Bible is literally like a Bible school in a book. It is fantastic. And so in Sunday school at 9:30 on Sunday morning, I'm taking people through the Word of God chapter by chapter, and I'm teaching them, you know, out of the Fire Bible, you know, and saying, hey, this is what, you know, we should really be focusing on in this particular passage. And it really is a great tool. And so if you're looking for one, you can actually buy the app, subscribe to the app, that is. You can actually go to Olive Tree Bible Program, and that's a free part, but you can actually buy a Fire Bible on there. From a font size and technological aspect, that's the way that I prefer, because they pack so much information into the book that they have to use a very, very small font, and it can be hard to read, you know, a 4 font at times. So you know, that's what I recommend. So I hope that you are growing in your relationship with the Word, that you say, you know what, I think I've got something that I could pass on. So the writer of Hebrews says, by this time you ought to be teachers, but the reality is you have regressed, or you have failed to progress to the point that you need someone to teach you again. So I will tell you an interesting part of my work background. In the middle of my college days, I spent the first 3 semesters at a particular university, and it was getting so expensive, and I was living at home, which meant it was much less expensive for me than it was for those who were living on campus. Was in the town I grew up in, so I just drove back and forth, but it was very expensive for that day, even though it would be a bargain now. But it was a very ahead of its time school as far as the resources that it made available for its students. For those who were living on campus, they had access to all sorts of information that I couldn't. They had their own campus closed circuit television and things like that. It was, you know, long before YouTube and being able to access all that information. So it was great. But I transferred my 4th semester to a community college. In those days, it was called junior college. And I got a full-time job. I was working in a manufacturing plant, so my day looked a lot like this. I would get up at 2:30 of the morning. I would throw papers. I would come home. I would rest for a little bit, and then I would go to work, and then I would go to night school after you know, working 40 or 50 hours a week, because sometimes we had overtime. And so I was new to this area. They trained me how to use all of the machines, and I worked there for about 8 months, and then I went to a Bible college out of the area, out of state, and it was more affordable to live on campus there than it was to commute back and forth from my house to the other place. And so I managed to save some money, and I came home on Christmas break, and they rehired me. And when I got to work, and I was only going to be there for 3 weeks, they gave me a raise for coming back, and I was the most experienced person in the department at that point in time. So all of the people that I had worked with before were now gone. The only problem was I had been away from the machines for August and September and October and November and half of December. And so when I show up, I'm the person with the most seniority, but they had to teach me how to use the machines all over again. And I think a lot of times that people find themselves in similar places when it comes to Christianity. If we are not careful, our society it teaches us to try and get to a place where we are comfortable. Unfortunately, comfort leads to complacency, and if we're not careful, we quit pressing on to lay hold of the prize for which Christ Jesus took hold of us, and we get stuck. Well, here's the thing about living organisms on planet Earth. They're either growing or they're dying. And so you're either, you know, progressing or you're regressing. And if we do not continue to press forward to become everything that God wants us to be, then we find ourselves in need of remedial teaching again. You know, if you're in college and or maybe even in high school and you are not up to proficiency, they will mandate that you take a remedial class. Well, that means they're giving you a class to remedy the deficiency that you have in a certain area. So, you know, they teach intellectual capabilities. Sometimes they teach, you know, good, solid information. Sometimes it's not so good. There's physical, but our public school systems don't do anything for spiritual development and probably do very little for relational development. So the church needs to be stepping into that gap to make sure that we are not just making converts, that we are making disciples. And by disciples, I'm not talking about the 1970s abuses that went on there. I mean that the church needs to be recreating followers of Jesus Christ who believe the Word of God, want to live the Word of God, learn the Word of God, love the Word of God, so that they can teach the Word of God. And so there was a preacher one time by the name of E.V. Hill. He pastored a great church out in Los Angeles. And, you know, I watched him preach a message on television back in the 90s. And he said, you know, it's perfectly okay if you need a bottle of milk if you're a baby. But if they're having to move your mustache and your beard out of the way to get the bottle in your mouth, and you're a perfectly healthy individual, there's a problem. And I don't want Christianity in America to be a mile wide and an inch deep. I believe that we need to explore the depths of God's Word because it is amazing. I was recently, you know, hanging out at the church working while a ladies' meeting was going on. We call it Women of Worth. And so, ladies, if you're out there, I want you to know that you are not worthless. You're priceless in God's kingdom and in God's eyes. And your family needs you to be a godly woman. God wants you to be a godly woman. The church needs you to be a godly woman. And so, you know, grow in your faith. And so as I was studying, I was researching words, and I came upon this reality. I saw a word that is the foundation for a region that is very close to someone that I know that lives in. And I said, do you know what the name of that region means? And I passed it along to them, and it was like really interesting for them. It was more interest. I was more excited about it than they were. And I said, I would be proclaiming that over that region, that it is part of its existence. It is meant to be this in the kingdom of God. And so I continue to learn new things. I am not stuck. I was, you know, I might be slow, you know, I'm in my 60s, but, you know, and there may be people that say, oh yeah, I knew that. And that's fine. But I'm telling you, heaven is not going to be boring. It is going to be a place where God unveils the realities of his nature for all of eternity. So don't get stuck, and certainly don't, you know, fall back, but instead continue to press forward again. And so the writer of Hebrews says that you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And so that word principle, it's the word that describes the elements of the universe. And what I take that to mean is we need to understand the nature of the kingdom of God. We need to understand the Word of God. We need to have a reality that just because a person has said a prayer doesn't mean they understand everything there is to know about the kingdom of God. They're just getting started. Many people, I've seen a lot of races through the years where a person thinks that they have achieved victory and they let up at the last minute and they get passed. And instead of getting victory, they end up getting defeated because they took the foot off the accelerator. They just decided to coast to the finish line. And you and I, we need to continue to grow in our understanding of the kingdom of God. So there are a lot of times the principles of the spiritual realm of society, we can get an idea of how they work from the natural way that things operate. But there are also things in about principles in God's spiritual kingdom that are paradoxical, where the natural world is all about self-preservation. The kingdom of God is about having our selfish desires suppressed and dying so that we can hold on to God's will, not our will, God's plan, not our plan, God's resources, not our resources. And so we're going to look at some of these principles because the writer of Hebrews delineates some of the basic principles, some of the elementary principles, and then it talks about some of the things that are more advanced and that many people never reach that stage of their spiritual development. So that's what we're going to look at. And so these principles are not Bob principles, they're God principles. And so the writer of Hebrews says, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And so these are things that God has laid out in his word, that Jesus has demonstrated, that the Holy Spirit makes possible for us. And so I want you to understand that it is possible for you to advance in your understanding of God and his kingdom and his word. Don't get stuck. Because if we get stuck, what the writer of Hebrews diagnoses for the people that he's written this letter to initially is that you cannot process solid food. Right now you are in a condition where all you can handle is milk, because in the description of spiritual development, you aren't as advanced as you might think you are. You're actually a baby. And so I'm not saying that about you. I'm just saying that's what the writer of Hebrews has said here. And he said, babies are the ones that can only tolerate milk. So many, many years ago, this is like three decades ago, I was on a 10-day fast. Hadn't eaten anything. And it was, you know, so I not only lost a lot of weight, but, you know, I wasn't doing it for dietary purposes. I was doing it for spiritual purposes. And some friends of ours from South Brevard County came to church. They were older than we were. Their kids are in our same age bracket, but a little bit older than us. And so, you know, there were several decades. Well, they came up and they said, we want to take you out to lunch after church. It's like, you know, we were poor, so it's like, great, you know, fantastic. Where do you want to go? And they said, we want to take you, and this is going to tell you how far back it was, we want to take you to Quincy's. Quincy's was a steakhouse there on Merritt Island. It was kind of like a Golden Corral or a Western Sizzlin' or things like that. So they had this big salad bar and things like that. Well, here's the thing. This was my first prolonged fast. And I didn't realize that your digestive enzymes, those levels decrease whenever you haven't eaten anything. And so I had virtually no digestive enzymes going on at that particular point in time. And the way that you are supposed to break a fast is you're supposed to eat soft foods so that you reactivate the ability to process whatever food you put inside. So when I broke my fast with a steak dinner, my body was not happy at all. And so if you are in a stage where you've not been partaking of the Word of God, you've not been feasting on the Word of God, maybe it's been a long time since you've been in church, then the way that your spiritual digestion is going to happen is you're going to have to go back and rediscover some of those elementary truths all over again. Here's the thing that I will tell you. If you have not been in church for a while, it has probably been longer than what you think it is. So many times people ask me, how long ago did something happen? Here's what I have come to use as a formula. If I think it's been 2 years, I will say it's probably been four. If I think it's five, I will say it's probably been 10. Because unless there is a timestamp event that I can correlate with it, it's probably been longer than what I think, because life just moves at such a fast pace. I can't see your face. I may not know your name, but I want to reach out today to some people. Maybe at one point in time you were thriving in your spiritual journey and something traumatic happened. Maybe it was the loss of a loved one. Maybe something happened between you and another person, and it caused you to not want to be around other believers. Maybe there was something happened between you and the church, and those things happen. I'm sorry that they happen. I try not to do that, but I'm sure I've done it more than what I care to admit. I would like to ask you, would you launch again into a spiritual journey where you say, God, teach me. Teach me at whatever stage I need, because I want to become the person you want me to be. God bless you. You have a great day. Feed on the Word of God today. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.